Good evening, everyone. It's a beautiful day. Again, I want to read, before I start my message, I want to read a few verses in Psalm 127. I like to read verses 3, 4, and 5. It goes like this. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them, and they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. My dear wife and I, we have 9 children. 9. 17 grandchildren. 2 on the way. If you can visualize a map of North America, Canada, and America down here, about smack in the middle, that's where we live, in a little town called Stratton. If you blink twice, you'll miss it. Just a little town, a wee little town. And so, I never thought I was a mighty man. But these verses say I'm a mighty man, because my quiver had 9 arrows, still has. But I took my bow, and I went, whoa! One way over there to New York. And that's where Darwin and Hannah and little Carter live. And then I had another one. Went, woo, way over there to Alberta, Edmonton. Edmonton, Alberta, where the church has 3 fences around it. That's where my daughter and my son-in-law and my 6 children, Mark and Priscilla and Ruel and Mackay and Eliana and Cassie and Chloe and Natalie live. And then another arrow went, way down to Iowa, and that's where my daughter Tabea with her husband Brendan live. And then another one, to Manitoba, close to Steinbeck. That's where my son Jonathan and his wife Luda live with their children, Dahlia and Etienne and Yulia and Philip and Annette and Mateo and Joel. And then another air one, way over to Washington. Close to Ellensburg. Well, Ellensburg, actually. That's where David and Sarah live with their boys. What's her name? Of course, Kemuel and Carson and Chadwick. Right. Boy, my name's almost failed me, but that's where the... And I guess... And then I talked to somebody today. Yes, our children all live within 2 miles of us. 2 miles? My arrows went too far, I guess. But that's us. And so we're very, very thankful that we still have 4 at home. Esther and Joanna and Asenath and Samuel. But of course we have another little one. His name is Charles, a little foster son. And he's about 2 and a half months old. Sweet little boy. And so our family grows. And they go out as arrows. And I trust those arrows, they're going to shoot out more arrows. But that's how we do it. And we sometimes wonder, oh, what's going to happen next? Anyways, God is good. So I told a couple of little boys already, today's story has to do with Cossacks and communists. If you know your history, about 100 years ago, well, actually more like 120 or 125 years ago, back in Russia, there were the Cossacks and was just starting with the communists. And so instead of calling them Cossacks and communists, the Cossacks are the white Russians. And so that included the Tsars, like Tsar Nicholas I and Tsar Nicholas II. And then there's the communists, and we call them the red Russians. So we just call them the whites and the reds, okay? So here's a man living in southern Russia. His name is Ivan Rempel. And he is a rich man. He has a huge estate. He lives there in southern Russia. He has a lot of land. But because of the struggle between the whites and the reds, he loses his farm. And he's sent off to central Russia. He lives there. He has to, he no longer is a big man. He's no longer the big estate. Now he has to work on a daily job where he earns enough money just so that he can feed his family. And so he walks home one day from the factory And hears a voice. He turns around. Huh? There's nobody there. Where did that voice come from? He keeps on walking. The voice comes again. Turns around. There's nobody there. All of a sudden he notices, there on that railroad track, there stands one railroad car. And it's an old-fashioned kind of railroad car, like a box car, made of slats of wood like this, and then little cracks in between. And he hears a voice coming over there. He walks over there with his bag of food. He has one loaf of bread, one little piece of cheese, and a length of sausage in that bag. He goes over there, and he finds out that there's Reds in there. The Whites have been winning, and the Reds are in there. And they said, we have been in this car, railroad car, stuck in this car for 2 days and two nights. We've had nothing to eat. Don't you have something?
Well, sure, I have something. I have something in my bag right here. I'm taking home to my family. If they don't get this, they have nothing to eat.
But we've been starving. We just don't know how long we'll be able to even live. And so Ivan says, okay. He opens his bag through the cracks. He hands the bread. He hands the sausage. He hands the cheese till his bag is empty. And then he says, God bless you. He doesn't know who they are in there because he can't see them. Turns his back and walks home. That night, his family has nothing to eat. Things get worse in Russia. The Reds start winning eventually after years and years. They start winning. And he loses even that job that he has sent up to northern Russia, to Siberia. And life is really, really hard. They still have enough to eat, but it's hard, hard, hard labor. If you know what real communism is about, it's hard. It's really, really hard. Under men like Stalin and Khrushchev and Brezhnev and all those men. It's really, really hard. And then, one day, Mongolian traders come through the area. And Ivan is an entrepreneur, and so he is able to barter some tea, a loose bag of tea about this size, and he makes it into smaller little bags and sells it to other people in the village. But that's bad. Under communism, that's real, real bad. He gets caught. He gets hauled in front of a judge. And Ivan knows, very likely, that's the end of the road for me. I'm going to die. The judge says, you, Ivan Rempel, have been charged with selling stuff. Tea. And all of a sudden he looks at him. He looks at him closer. And he says, do you remember one day long ago where you were walking home with a bag of food and you were walking home? And then you heard this voice behind you and you turned around. You didn't know where it was. And you walked over with your bag of food to that railroad car. And you didn't know who was inside that car. And then you took that food out of that bag and you passed it to those people. And they said they were very hungry. And you passed all your food to them. I was in that car. What were those last three words that you said? I said, God bless you. That's right. You did. Because you did that for us, I am going to set you free, and I will give traveling visas, traveling documents, visas for you and your whole family anywhere in the world where you want to go because of what you did for us. And so Ivan said, I would like to go to America. And he said, I would like to go to Kansas. He settled down in Kansas somewhere. Because of that one act of sacrifice, of kindness. I tell that story to schools, to school children, because they're told to be kind. They are told where you can be anything, be kind. And I said, tell them, students, I'm going to tell you a story what it means to be kind. Of course, there's many other ways you can be kind. But you are really kind when you sacrifice yourself for the sake of others. Yes, may we also be that. Now we want to pray. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Almighty Father in heaven, thank you so much for this evening. Thank you, dear God, that you're alive and that you are a mighty God. You know exactly who we are in our hearts, and there's nothing we can hide from you. We can hide from people, but we can't hide from God, because Jesus has eyes like a flame of fire, and he sees everything. God, I pray that even this evening as I speak, you will give me strength and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I would like to paint two pictures for you. I'm not very good at painting, I'm not very good at drawing, but I always liked to draw. When I was in school, I drew pictures, and I still have those pictures with me, and I show them to my family. They say, oh, Papa, you're funny. Oh, Papa, you drew funny pictures. Well, of course, but that's how little boys do when they're in school, right? Anyways, I want to draw you word pictures. The first picture I'm going to draw you is ugly. Is very ugly. The second picture is very, very beautiful. Even as I was preparing the message, I was thinking, how is this going to work? How is this going to work? This is not nice stuff. No, it isn't. And I was thinking, what will I do? I didn't know. And so finally God showed me, but listen, John, the second picture you will draw, it's utterly beautiful. And it will eclipse all the ugliness that you will draw first. Okay, very good. The first picture I will draw to you is all about blaming one another, for sure, but bitterness, betatet, aufjansichtesana, stolzesana, mit wuttet bedrievesana. Dat's nicht ein Schmuckert Bild. And it's interessant, when the Bible lays it down, red nicht viel von dit. But dort haft du adliche Städte, wird von dort clean redet. But von jeden Teil redet viel. Da wird dann Luther von reden. Mir fängt das sehr interessant. Was für ein Mensch wäre dort? To wem deit Paulus schrieve, wenn er den Brief deit schrieve, to Philippa, to der Feser, to der Kolosser? To wem deit er schrieve? Wer denn ist das Mensch, das wie sind? Jo, die sind. Wir ist es wie. Aber er wisst, für wat er schrieve deit. Paul knew what he was writing for. He was writing to build up the church, to encourage the church, to bring them to a higher plane, plateau than they were living. And so may that be. So let's turn in our Bibles to, first of all, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, and we'll read a few verses there, and then we'll also turn to James. Ephesians 4. And I'd like to read from verses 20 to 32. Ephesians 4, verse 20 to 32. But you have not so learned Christ. He's been talking about all these bad people. Then he says this. Now he's speaking. He talked about those unbelievers. Now he's talking about Christians. Two Christians, you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands,
the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Then turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So, both pictures are shown right there. But first of all, I want to talk about grudges, blaming one another. It's his fault. It's her fault. It's their fault. It's somebody else's fault. If it only wasn't for that person, then I could live a much better life. Then teaching would be a much easier job. Then being a dad would be much easier. And it's always somebody else's fault. Always something. Alma dem anderen seine Schuld. Warum bloß, wenn ich so ein Mensch wie dann würde ich so leben, aber so viel leichter sein. Und dann habe ich die Dinge mit aufjänzig sein, über dem anderen. Aufjänzig. Oh, ab wann ich doch bloß gehabt habe, würde ich vielleicht niemals so sein, aber das in mein Hort. Und das trifft mich zu so einer Stäbe bloß nicht gut. Und ich sie aufjänze dem anderen. Und ich würde vielleicht niemals sagen, dass dann so eine Worte sein für mich, dass ich aufjänze sie im Wort. Aber das ist so. Er sagt in der Bibel, wenn du so aufjänze bist, dann lieh nicht jede Wahrheit. Gott weit krank, wie ich sie, und er konnte nicht verstärken von ihm, wie ich sie. Er konnte dich, er schickt, Don't dash me mit seinen flammenden Augen. Er kann krank sein in die kleinsten Dinge, was mich vielleicht aufjänzt im Morgen dann. He can see right through me and he knows exactly where the envy is in my heart and then he sees exactly what starts the striving and the argumentative spirit that is there. He sees it all. And so what the best thing is for me to do is say, okay, I am guilty. Ex ist schuldig. It's meine Schuld, dass hier Trouble ist im Heim. It's meine Schuld, dass er nicht später schafft mit der Arbeit. It's meine Schuld. Aber dort zu kommen, wirklich mit dem Instant Hort, das hat noch viel Arbeit zu machen. Warum? Wenn der Better-Chat, wo kämpft von der Aufjänzung ist, der Better-Chat ist eine Wartel. Und die Wartel, die kennen nicht so leicht rüt. Kratzt es an den Mond, die Firma flyen in eine Wache, sagt ein kleiner Baum. So ein kleiner Baum ist dit. So ein kleiner Baum ist dit. Sagt ein kleiner Baum. Dachte, oh, ich will den Baum mitnehmen. Er kommt, krüpft rauf von der Chor. Er kommt und packt den Baum an. Könnt ihm nicht, was nicht rüt riecht. Der kleine Baum, wie man so klingt, war eine große lange Wartel.
Those better chat have the grout along a vartel. The yetten to cost a vartel in the hrutchria. Bitterness is a horrible, horrible thing. When I hold a grudge against somebody else and I hold it for a little bit, it grows into bitterness. And bitterness is a horrible thing. My dear brothers and sisters, if you think you have bitterness in your heart, repent. Repent before this day is over, because it's going to grow into a root. And it's a horrible, horrible thing. I cannot tell you enough how people suffer, how people make life miserable for themselves. And you can see it in their face. Their face is just riddled with bitterness. They're bitter and angry against somebody. And they say, I will never forgive that person until he comes to me and crawls on me, towards me on his hands and knees and begs for forgiveness. And what has the person done? Nothing. He did nothing. It's all because they imagined up in their head. It's a sad, sad place. We're Christians. These are not worldly people I'm talking about. I'm talking about Christians. Christians. They get so bitter in their heart they stop going to church. I just heard recently about another dear man. He stops going to church. I never go to church. Never. Who's he angry again? His own fleshly blood brother. Because we have a little grudge. And it starts off like a little thing. And we let it go for a little while. And it gets worse and worse and worse. And longer and deeper and deeper and deeper. And we can never pull it out. How can I get rid of such bitterness? It's unreal, unreal, the grudges people hold against each other. It's an ugly picture I'm drawing, am I not? Yes. Das ist ein frechtes Bild, was ich mule, oder nicht? So ein Jefter, das nicht hier. Weil ich sure hope it ain't dead. But anders steht, wie ich sehe, was der Jefter so ein Ding ist dort. So in der Bilder. So what man da kommen? Wo mein Hort wird aufgemacht worden. Und da wird alles offen worden sein, was dann ist. Und er kommt vielleicht und sagt, oh Gott, nein, wie soll nicht? Aber das wird nicht helfen. The day will come, where all the secrets of men will be revealed. The secrets of men. The secrets of men. I don't know if women have secrets, but it talks about the secrets of men. I know men have secrets. Isaiah, I'm a man. Does it help to have a secret and keep it away from your family, keep it away from your wife? No! It doesn't. It's the most horrible thing. How many men have destroyed their families by holding secrets away from their families, from their wives? I've heard enough. I don't need to hear any more. It's just horrible because of envy, because of anger and strife. And the thing that's one thing that's sin that's related to anger, and you might never say that's anger, but it is. That's the simple little, maybe it's not even a little sin, but whatever, it's a little fox, whatever. And he rips the tender grapes to pieces. It's impatience. If I, as a father, impatient with my children. If I, as a husband, am impatient with my wife, woe is me. And that is the beginning of anger. Impatience. What excuse, what reason do I have in this whole world to be impatient? And I look at myself, I don't look at anybody else, I look at myself. What excuse do I have to be impatient? None. None. I try to excuse myself. Why? I look back with shame. I look back with shame. I look back with shame. Are you doing this? Wir wurden los, Wir haben Spode, Die Spode sich nicht. Die Tinge oder der Frühmensch. Die Spode sich bloß nicht. Ecclesiastes sagt, viel schwinder reisen. Würden Sie sagen, are you doing? Wenn ich ha ein Bild von mir selbst, ich lebe wie so ein Mensch, und ich will Menschen, die halt sagen, Gott für mich denken, ich am Tizi, nur weit los sein. nu vara människor för dig och för mig.
Has all to do with how I think of myself. How I think of myself so high. And I think of others so low. Terrible, 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 terrible.
It's an ugly picture, is it not? For me, it's ugly, 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 ugly.
I wish I didn't have to look at it. I wish I didn't have to look at it. God has forgiven me, but oh God, why? Why such horrible memories? Oh God, help me to be filled with your spirit. But that's an ugly, ugly picture.
There was a man in the Bible, his name was King Uzziah. He was a mighty man. He was a farmer. He made great machines, machines of war that could hurl rocks. Whoa! Women whip him up at other walls and smash them to pieces. Man, they thought, whoo, this Uzziah, he can build stuff. Whoo, he was a mighty man. And then he realized how big and powerful he was. And then one day, he took an incense holder, a censer, in other words. He put perfume, holy perfume, and he went into the temple and he wanted to offer it on the altar of incense. He was so big, so strong, so mighty. He was proud. He thought he could do it what he had never done before. This was for the priest to do, not for him, not for the king. Even though he was powerful and mighty, he could do anything. He went in, he was offered. And the priest came and said, "Stop, you cannot do this." And he got angry. And just like that, the leprosy just bubbled out of his forehead. Psh, big bubbles start forming in his forehead. And they saw, "Whoo, you wicked old man, you're full of leprosy." He felt it, and he ran out. And they had to put him in a house by himself. And his son Jotham ruled in his stead. And Uzziah, what did he do? He lived in that house, a bitter, bitter old man. And he never repented. And there was a prophet, Isaiah, who must have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for Uzziah. He would repent. But he didn't. And then he died. Oh, no. And then Isaiah chapter 6. That's where he saw the glorious vision. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the king, the mighty, holy, heavenly king, and his whole train filled the temple. And he writes about that glorious vision that he had. But what poor, poor end. That's bitterness. Bitterness so grips a man, it's a miracle when a bitter person can repent. I tell you. So if you have any kind of bitterness in your heart, don't lie. Don't lie and say it's not there. That's what the Bible says. Don't lie. Don't lie. Because God knows. Repent. And du kannst nicht den Wartelchen. Then the only thing you have to do is du musst dort aufklammern. Du musst dort aufweihen. And don't give it any room to prosper. If anything comes up, you hold against it. No, I repented of that sin. I repented of that sin. I will only pray for that person. I will ask God to bless that person. The person might have done a whole thing, a whole mountain of words against you, but you are not going to hold anything more against him, and you will go to the cross, and you are going to tell the Lord Jesus, "I want you to bless that person. I want you to pour your glorious blessing upon him." And that goes absolutely against the flesh. The flesh says, "God, I want you to break that man. I want you to crush that man. I want you to punish that man." No, 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 no. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 and 45, it says you must bless him. Bless those that curse you. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. Yes. That's an ugly picture. Ugly picture. A bitter, angry, envious, jealous people. And I've been there. And I thank God. I don't have to be. I don't have to be. Ich brückte nicht sein. Bei dieser schrecklichen Stadt in Grudgehole, jene in Ondra. You know what it says? There's an amazing verse in the Bible. I don't know why it's there, but I do know why it's there. But I wish it wasn't there, and I guess it is there because it has to be there. Colossians 3, 19. Husbands, love your wives and be sweet with them. It's not what it says. Husbands, love your wives and take them for a drive. No, no, it's not what it says.
husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them.
What?
Are there any husbands that are bitter against their wives? Paul wasn't even a married man. He wrote that. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Husbands, husbands, husbands. Oh. He knew. He knew by the Spirit of God, husbands had a big, big problem. I'll talk more maybe about that later. But anyways, be not bitter against them. Bless vuram, vuram vud and mon better than a yezina fein a live through. Oh, ernst wort kunna zana. Vielleicht, sie haf nicht nur Socker in die Kuchen an ihr Dona. Oder vielleicht, es sei an ihr Dona gewas mit der Chinga. Oder vielleicht hafe sie eine Hoa nicht reiche Chant. Oder vielleicht, der hafe den Arche Dona in sein Shop oder wo immer das. Ganz kleine Dinge. Und dann, der sei am Reminder, denke hole, oh, und dann, korkte der Mann. Und so fängt er an. Es ist nicht bei Chindisch? Jo, Chindisch. But so sort es it. Love your wives. What does it mean to love your wives? You know what it means to love your wives? Like I said to once a grade A class in a public school. What does it mean to love you? What's love mean? Ha 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 ha. They all laughed at me. They all thought of dirty things. I said, oh, no, you're all wrong. You're all wrong. I pointed to a girl right in the front. I said, you young lady, this is what it means. This is what love means. You go home, you grab the broom, and you sweep the floor for your mom. Without her telling you anything. That's love. Oh. One girl turned around at me and said, I hate that boy back there. Why you hate him? Oh, she said, oh, I know what she said. I said, you know what? If you hate him, you become just like him. But if you forgive him, you're better. Oh, that's something you never heard. But that brings me to the next point. And that's the beautiful picture of being forgiven. The beauty. There's blaming and bitterness, and there's beauty. And there's the most beautiful picture of forgiveness. 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 There's the joy of being forgiven. There's the joy of forgiving one another. And there's the joy of living in forgiveness. And oh, if I could paint the picture of forgiveness, what it means to have come to Christ Jesus, to have come to God and repented of my sin and just said, this is exactly how it is. Lord, this is who I am. I am an ugly person inside. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. Wash me with your holy blood. And guess what happens? He does. And you sense, hey, it's gone. He's forgiven me. Wow, such a truth of being forgiven. He took the load off my back. It's gone. Like the story of Pilgrim in the story of Pilgrim's Progress. He looks up to the cross. Boom, all of a sudden, oh, the big load is gone. And he's like a free man. The load is no longer there. The shoulders is off your aunt, their aunt, it's off your falling, they're rolled away from me. Oh, the joy of being forgiven. There's a book written like that by the name of that title. Andrew Murray writes a book, The Joy of Being Forgiven. It's all based on Psalm 51. I want you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a psalm that David wrote when he was confronted with his sin of killing Uriah and going into Bathsheba and committing adultery. He should have died. He should have been stopped from being king. But he repented. He repented. And woe to any person who thinks it's all right to commit adultery because as long as I repent. I tell you, if you want to know what it means to repent, turn to Isaiah 51 and memorize that psalm. Memorize that psalm. In fact, that's what Andrew Murray says in his book, The Joy of Being Forgiven. If you understand what it means to be forgiven, take Psalm 51 and memorize that whole psalm. I mean, verse are there, 21 verses or so. Memorize the whole psalm and you will understand. And you will go deep, deep into the meaning of Psalm 51. Beginning of the psalm, he says, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. I looked at that verse, it's verse 3 or verse 4, and I wonder,
No, how can that be? You, David, you sinned against Uriah. You sinned against Bathsheba. But he saw sin for what it was. We don't understand sin. We think sin, this is a small thing. No, it isn't. It isn't. He found forgiveness because he knew he had committed sin against a holy God. And this holy God could just wipe him off the face of the earth. And he knew, I against thee, thee alone have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And oh, he repented. And then I want to read, especially verse 17 of that psalm. That's a very beautiful verse. Oh my. Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. It's precious. It's precious to be forgiven like that. Wow. Wow, your load goes off your back to be forgiven. But you know what? Every one of us who has come to the cross, all of us, what zenten and chrichikum had unzinned, and the high prachat to God, forgive me doch, wash me doch rein von meine Schuld, von meine Sünde, was so groß ist und was so schwer ist. Wash me doch rein. Wie hat die Vergebnis gefunden, der Jesus ihn blaut. Oh, like the song goes, would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Man, oh man, that's a wonderful song. Wow, to find forgiveness. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. He doesn't despise you if you come with a broken and a contrite heart. And you find forgiveness. You find forgiveness. Next, turn to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. I'd like to read verses 1 to 5. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He had put a new song. That's a personal song. That new song is a personal song. It means something really much to me. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust and respects not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are toward to us ward, they cannot be numbered up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. You know what? What this psalm says, the forgiven soul sings. They zeil wat vergeeft es, they zingt. They zingt. They zingt nicht, wenn die Mat singen. Die singt, wenn die Welt kommt, dat Mat da bloß rutkomen en je zank. Wann du eine Erweckung hast in der Church, wann du wirklich Gott wirklich mit seinem Geist oberlädt an so Horte, dann wo wir singen anders ist, je wein nicht. Dann wo wir singen. In der Worte vielleicht zusammen sei, kann ich sagen, wie du gesagt hast, ich kann nicht singen. Ich kann andere Menschen auf Tun bringen. Und das ist so, ihr wisst. Aber weißt, wenn ein Mensch wirklich verjäft ist, dann singt er. Vielleicht nicht in der Church, vielleicht tust du im Stall. Hängen Stoff, ab dem Traktor vielleicht. Singt er da. Oh, hei, preist den Herrn. Hei, weit seine Sinne sind wach gewaschen. Die sind, wo sind seine Sinne? Die sind wach. So wie das der Aus ist von Wasser. Seine Sinne sind wach gewaschen. Hei, ist free. Free, free. Oh, so herrlich es dort wirklich verjäft zu sein. How wonderful it, how glorious, how beautiful. I cannot tell you how glorious it is to be forgiven. How many of you understand that? I wish I understood it more. I wish I understood it more, what it means to be forgiven. What it means to be forgiven, the gloriousness, the beauty, the marvels of being forgiven. I mean, what does it mean to be forgiven? It's a song the angels cannot sing. Angels cannot sing the gloriousness of being forgiven because they never sinned. And if they did, they fell down and they cannot repent. But we, as the ransomed and the redeemed, we can sing because we've been forgiven. We've been made free from our sin. Not free from hell, free from sin. Jesus died to save me from sin, not from hell. Sin is worse than hell. One writer, a Puritan writer, Jeremiah Burroughs, had written the book, The Exceeding Sinfulness of Sin. He said, sin is much, much worse than hell. And that's why we don't understand. We think sin doesn't matter. Hell is bad. Oh, no, sin is much worse. Sin is much, much worse. Sin is horrible. We don't understand the horribleness of sin, but to be forgiven from sin, wow, to be free. Why would I want to go back into sin if I'm delivered from sin? How shall we that are dead to sin, Paul says in Romans chapter 6, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How could we? How could we? It's a beautiful thing to be forgiven. And if I'm forgiven, what a beautiful thing it is to forgive the person who hurts me. To forgive the person who tries to hurt me, the person who speaks evil against me, the person who does something to me, and to forgive that person. Do you know what it does? It makes me free. It might not make him free, but it makes me free because I forgive him. And I say, God, would you just pour your blessing upon that man? It's beautiful. It's utterly precious to forgive another person because you know God forgave me so far more than that other person did to me. My sin was massively big. God forgave it all. My sin was horrible. I deserve hell for because of my sin, but he set me free. He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a beautiful thing. Wow. Wow. And the joy and the beauty of living on in forgiveness. To keep singing the songs of being forgiven. To keep on singing the songs of being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Because he did it. To him goes all the glory. I would glorify him. To lift up his name. The wonderful works that he has done. To glory. Glory to his name. May God bless you. There is so much more to be said about this. The beauty. The gloriousness of being forgiven. You know, there's a man by the name of Paul Hathaway. Maybe I told you about him already. He was so sinned against. He was so hurt. He was so maligned. He was so put down. And he forgave. And he forgave. And he forgave. And he forgave. And if that thing came against him, the next day he forgave it again. And he's free. And he serves God. And he has a mighty, mighty mission that sends millions of Bible to China. And oh, what a precious thing it is to be forgiven, to forgive, and to live on in forgiveness. That's the most precious thing. Let's stand to pray.